Welcome to this podcast of the Sunday message from Hope Gateway, a United Methodist community in Portland, Maine. If you live locally, we'd love to have you join us for worship on Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. or 11 a.m. Visit our website at www.hopegateway.com to learn more. But whether you live near or far, we hope you find this message to be meaningful. Wherever you are, join us in doing justice, loving kindness, and walking humbly with God.
Several weeks. Oh, sure. I'm out of practice. Over the course of the last several weeks, we've explored the topic of non-toxic Christianity. Sarah and Ophelia invited us to think about how our beliefs affect our relationship with God and with one another. Next week, there is a new series starting, Enough, which will explore the challenges and concerns about having and being enough. So today's the in-between, and I have been asked to preach on the topic of hospitality. And I like what it says here in Hebrews: do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by so doing, some people have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it. Isn't that true? Hospitality is defined in Webster's dictionary as the friendly and generous reception of entertainment of guests, visitors, or strangers. There are college and university programs that educate men and women about the hospitality industry. In the United States alone, in 2016, that industry brought in $1.34 trillion into the economy. Martha Stewart has made millions of dollars educating people on this subject. Hotels, motels, restaurants, stores all vie to attract our attention. But the Webster's Dictionary, it's a little impersonal to me. And obviously, it is also talking about general hospitality. And our focus today will be on Christian hospitality. I would like to share with you John Pavlovitz. He wrote a book. He is a prolific writer, and he's a wonderful writer. And he says that hospitality ascribes value to people. It declares them worth welcoming. It disarms them by easing the fears that past rejection has yielded and lets them know that this place is different. And once people realize that they are received with joy, they begin to rest in it. They breathe again. See, general hospitality is focused on profit. Our hospitality is focused on the person. And that's the key difference. It declares people worth welcoming. Sounds better than friendly and generous reception of guests. For me, John's definition gives a human face to the word hospitality. And it helps us to become aware of what it means to welcome somebody that's in our midst that we may not know, or that we may have a conflict with. But it means that when we accept the person, and when we say that all are welcome, to borrow from our song this morning, no matter who, no matter what, no matter where you are on the journey of life, you are accepted by God's grace. It is that grace that God wants to give us. It's that grace that God will give us to extend to others if we ask. Today I want to read to you from the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 10, verses 38 to 43, This will be fairly familiar, probably. It's a story of Martha and Mary. And I'm reading it from the Message translation. As they continued their travel, Jesus entered a village. A woman by the name of Martha welcomed him and made him feel quite at home. She had a sister, Mary, who sat before the Master, hanging on every word he said. But Martha was pulled away by all she had to do in the kitchen. Later, she stepped in, interrupting them. "Master, don't you care that my sister has abandoned the kitchen to me? Tell her to lend me a hand." The Master said, "Martha, dear Martha, you're fussing far too much and getting yourself worked up over nothing. One thing is essential, and Mary has chosen it. It's the main course, and it won't be taken from her." I picked this gospel out of the probably tens, several anyway, for what I believe is Jesus' teaching of true hospitality. The scene is set at the home of Martha and Mary and their brother Lazarus. Jesus arrives and Martha greets Jesus and welcomes him in. It's important to know that Jesus likely wasn't traveling alone, but he probably had some of his disciples with him or people that were just following him. So there were many people at this gathering, most likely, although Luke has left that piece out. We are told that Mary sits down before Jesus, which in Jesus' time would have been breaking the social norms, because it was a man that usually sat at the feet of the rabbi. But Jesus doesn't tell Mary to get up and move. He allows her to stay seated there and breaks with the norms of the day. He offers her true, holy hospitality. And although Luke doesn't provide much detail, we can glean from the story that it was likely there was a meal going to be served. And so Martha goes about making the meal. And in the course of that, she realizes that she's doing all the work herself. And she interrupts Jesus and says, "Hey, why are you letting her sit there and let me do all the work?" And Jesus says, "Martha, dear Martha, you are fussing far too much and getting yourself worked up over nothing. Only one thing is essential, and Mary has chosen it. It's the main course, and it won't be taken from her." I don't know about you, but how many here in this room are relating to Martha right now at this moment? And all the list of people that we could say to Jesus, "Hey, get them to help me." Many of us may be thinking as we approach Thanksgiving what it takes to prepare a meal, to welcome people into our home, taking out special dishes, setting the table in just the right way, as Martha Stewart has taught us. Making sure that you have everyone's favorite dish and dessert. Can't forget the pumpkin pie, the apple pie. And these words of Jesus may sound like nails on a chalkboard. Perhaps you may even think that Jesus is being condescending, patronizing, telling her, "Chill, cool, it's cool." I know, because I've had that reaction before. But in fact, the opposite is true. Jesus is trying to gently and tenderly and lovingly remind Martha that she needs to refocus her attention and her energy on what's important. What do you suppose that Jesus meant when he said to Martha, "Only one thing is essential"? What would be that one thing? What would Jesus possibly be referring to. Any ideas? Nobody has any ideas what that essential thing would be.
Could be the teaching.
The teaching could be.
Listen to Jesus.
Yep. And that's exactly what it is.
The purpose.
Right. Yeah. The one thing that's essential, and the purpose of the visit, is being present to the moment. Jesus has come to be with you, and to be with Martha and with Mary. And she's worried about all the other details. Yes, there has to be a meal prepared, but that is not the ultimate goal. The ultimate goal is to be in friendship with one another, to be sharing time together. And when you get caught, when Martha gets caught in the details of the meal, she loses sight of the fact that she's among friends. And those friends have asked for her presence, but she's too busy with whatever it is in the kitchen. That's not a criticism of Martha, because we all get caught in doing that. I do. I get caught doing that all the time. Nothing I get more nervous about than when people are coming to my house and I know it looks like a cyclone hit it. But I also say, well, if they're coming to see if it's been hit by a cyclone, then they don't like it, they can always go home. Right? But true hospitality means that people will not look at that stuff. They'll be present to the moment. They're sharing time with us. Jesus isn't trying to diminish the importance of Martha's role, but rather that the details of the preparation have stressed her out. And that's not what it's about. She's lost the focus of just being present to the moment, to enjoy the family and friends, to listen to the stories that are shared. And that's what we're called to do, to engage with people, to welcome those into our home and get to know them. Even if they are good friends, there's always something we learn. Jesus' words are meant to bring us back to the essential purpose of the gathering, simply to be present. And by being present, we are offering hospitality to all those around us. I don't know about you, but if somebody is like all worked up about, you know, whether the napkin's in the right place or whatever it is, kind of makes me feel uncomfortable. It's like, I don't care. I just want to visit with you. Being present to the guest or to the stranger among us is the truest form of hospitality. As John Pavlovitz said, being present, you are telling the other person they are important, they are worthy of welcome. Here at Hope Gateway, I don't know that this has been up here in a while, but I'm sure that we all remember that it's do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with God. And we do that pretty well. We practice hospitality very well. That is not to say that there is no need for improvement. There always is, because we're human beings. We're in a process. We're not perfectly able to execute things exactly the way we would want to all the time. We're not a perfect people, but we are a loving community, and that says a lot. This is evidenced here at Hope Gateway, our welcoming statement that Elizabeth read this morning encompasses it all. doesn't matter who you are. You come through that door, you're here because God wants you here. And our job, our role, is to make sure that that person feels that welcome. We have welcomed immigrants among us, and we are glad that you are here. You enrich our worship and our lives in more ways than we could express. It is evidenced by the way we welcome those in recovery, those struggling with recovery, those who are not in recovery. We welcome those from the LGBTQ community. Family Promise, Hope Acts. The list could go on and on and on. And I'm pretty confident to say that we are glad that all are here. Because without you, we would not be Hope Gateway. We simply would not be Hope Gateway. And thank you for all that you offer. For people to know that they are welcome here is obviously important, but we need to communicate that the moment they walk through the door. I would invite you, if you are able to get here early, to stand at the doorway and welcome folks as they come through the door. Now, before you tell me, oh, that's not my thing, I want you to know that I attempt to do this ministry every week when I am here, and it is out of my comfort zone. As an introvert, it is really out of my comfort zone. And most of you I know from looking around the room, and some of you may know this and have experienced it with me, but I'm not great at small talk. I mean, I can do it for a minute or so, but then I kind of lose the ability. But I believe that hospitality is so important that I extend myself to do it. And I just remembered something Erica said. I forget if we were in a meeting. I don't remember where it was, but Erica said, "That is the most I've ever heard you speak." And I was like, "Really?" But it's important to know that. It's important to know that. Or perhaps if you're not at the door and somebody comes through into the worship space, you don't know them, it's okay to approach them and say, "Hey, welcome. My name is Jeff. My name is Jen. Are you new here?" I did that last week, and the person said, "No." And I thought to myself, I got to find a better way to phrase that question. I haven't seen you before. Or perhaps you have culinary talents and you could sign up for the coffee hour to help with the hospitality there. This list isn't exhaustive. The point I'm trying to make is that God is all about welcoming each one of us and everyone out there. And although we reflect it very well, we can make it stronger. We should not leave hospitality to a committee. We are Hope Gateway, and it is our responsibility, collectively, to be the hospitality committee in whatever way we are comfortable. And it also avoids an extra meeting every month. I also want to point out, because I think that this would be a topic for a different sermon, which I'm not going to give today. Hospitality has its boundaries. And I want to be clear about that, and I'll briefly tell you what I mean. We are called to be hospitable to people. We are not called to allow people to abuse that hospitality. If someone is taking advantage of our kindness, if someone is abusing it in any form, it is okay to set the boundary and say no. That is hospitable. Because if we're doing something or someone is crossing a line and we're doing something and we're angry about it, that isn't hospitality. We've already lost it. So it is okay to set the boundaries. And that's all I will say about that, because I'll leave that topic for somebody else to touch. When I look at what is happening in our country today, unending gun violence, particularly against people of color, putting families in cages at the border because they're illegal, government officials and administration hell-bent on building a wall to keep those people out, the defense of white nationalism, ethnic cleansing. And when I'm wondering, what gospel are these people reading? Because it isn't this one. It is here at Hope Gateway I find the hope to continue to fight, to speak out against injustice and unwelcoming attitudes, to point out to people that we are all called to hospitality. We are one body of Christ. And our hospitality is not meant to increase the body of Christ. That has already been taken care of. It is our faith. It is our belief. It is our call to be the body of Christ, to be God who is invisible, made visible through us. That's our role. Leave the body of Christ to God, because God can do it best. What we need to do is be cooperative in that effort. That's our job. That's our job. Oops. I want to leave you with this quote from Henry Nouwen about hospitality. Hospitality is not to change people, but to offer them space where change can take place. Hospitality is not about doing things perfectly. We can't. And it is not about evangelization. It's not time for that when you're doing hospitality. It is about making each other feel welcomed, respected, loved, whatever the circumstance. Just imagine somebody who would walk through the door, and maybe it has happened, I don't know. I'm just picking an example that just came up. Imagine somebody coming through that door struggling with drug addiction or alcoholism. And imagine that you're the person at the door and you greet them, and that person feels valued, feels the respect, feels the care in your welcome. And because of that, seeks help. See, we never know what our kindness will lead to, and we may never know what it leads to. But that's not the point of why we do it. We do it because we want people to know that God loves them. And when we do that, we make the invisible God visible again. God bless you all.